Good evening, everybody. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Would you please join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please join me in a moment of silent observance for any you may have lost recently, or any you'd like to remember at this time. Thank you very much. Roll call, please, Madam Clerk.
Director Sasania.
Here.
Director Uhilski.
Present.
Director Turnotsky.
Here.
Vice President Millage.
Here.
President Storm.
Here.
Thank you.
Can we have a report out of closed session, please?
A very brief one. There was no reportable action.
Thank you. At this time, we'd like to call Lexi Bell, the Executive Director of the Morro Bay National Estuary Program, for an update.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. Welcome.
Thanks. So I'm Lexi Bell from the Morro Bay National Estuary Program. Some of you are probably pretty familiar with us, and some of you may not have heard our name before. We are a local nonprofit, and we do work to protect and restore Morro Bay. And one of the things we do is every 3 years we put together a report on the state of the bay. And that report focuses on water quality, how the habitats, the fish are doing, the eelgrass, different things like that that are important in the bay and in the watershed as well. So we had a month of events in April where we did all sorts of educational events to share the information from the report. And now we're taking the show on the road, and we're going to a bunch of different community meetings. We spoke at the Los Osos Cayucas Joint Rotary Club meeting here in Los Osos recently. We're speaking at the Morro Bay City Council and Morro Bay Harbor Advisory Board and a number of other community groups that are interested in learning a little bit more about how the bay is doing. So that's why I'm here with you tonight. Marshall represents the Los Osos CSD on our executive committee, which is a group of stakeholders that help us decide how we are going to proceed with projects and partnerships that the organization engages in. So I don't know what exact protocol you have for presentations, but you're welcome to interrupt me if you have any questions along the way. So I mentioned that we are a nonprofit. We are not a regulatory agency. People get a little confused because our name has the word national in it, but we are our own local nonprofit. We are part of a network of 28 national estuary programs. So Morro Bay is not the smallest. The smallest is actually in San Juan, Puerto Rico, but we are the second smallest in the network, and we are one of three in California. So we bring citizens, government agencies, landowners, other organizations together to protect and restore Morro Bay. Everything we do is from a collaborative standpoint. And this is the watershed. If you're not familiar with the exact boundary, we're down there in the bottom left-ish area. That's Los Osos. And the bay itself is about 2,300 acres, and the watershed is 48,000 acres. These are the kinds of things that we do. We do a lot of restoration and conservation work on the ground, but we also do education outreach, which is a big component of the State of the Bay report and these kinds of presentations. And we also do student-based educational learning in classrooms at events. And we have a free nature center in Morro Bay. Many of you who are residents may not even know about it because it's down there on the Embarcadero, Morro Bay, in the Marina Square building. A lot of people pass us by if they're residents, and a lot of the visitors come every year to visit our nature center. But it's free and open to the public every day. And we also do a lot of monitoring and research, which is how we have data about how the bay is doing. And then we have a special program called Mutts for the Bay. This is a program where we provide free pet waste bags in those dispensers that you see around town in Los Osos and Morro Bay. This is a donation-funded program, so people donate to us specifically for Mutts for the Bay, and then we purchase these bags, maintain the dispensers. We collaborate with the city of Morro Bay for the ones in the city, and we collaborate with the county on a few here in Los Osos. So it's a really great program. People are very positive about it in the community. It helps keep bacteria out of the bay. And it helps educate people about that connection between their activities on land and what's happening in our bay. So I just wanted to note that we rely heavily on volunteers. Some of you may have volunteered for us before. Over the past decade, we've had over 10,000 hours of time dedicated to our work by volunteers. So the first part of our report that I thought I would highlight for you all is the bay's condition in terms of safe swimming. So if you have too much bacteria in the bay, this can cause illnesses. And we have an indicator bacteria that we test for called Enterococcus that tells us, gives us a sense of the likelihood of people getting sick. And the EPA and the Water Board have set standards for how much bacteria can be in swimmable waters. There's a lot of reasons why bacteria gets into the water. This is a picture of a few of them. I always think that seal looks like a manatee, right? But I pretend like it's a harbor seal or a sea lion. And then you have birds, domestic animals like dogs and horses, stormwater runoff, so the water that comes off the land and goes into the bay when it rains, any kind of spill or issue at sewage treatment plants or septic systems all contributes bacteria. And here's how bacteria looks in the bay over the past few years. We have a scale that we use that comes from the Water Board about whether it's designated as good or very good, fair, or poor. As you can see, we have a lot of very good spots in the bay, but two down in Los Osos, Pasadena Point and Baywood Pier, are fair, meaning about 20% of the time there's a sample there that exceeds the safe standard for swimming. Because we only test monthly, we can't tell people the exact time and day when it's exceeding, but we just try to educate people about the fact that if it's raining and there's stuff coming down through those storm drains, it's likely to have a higher bacteria level. If it's really warm and hot and the water's been sitting there a long time, likely to have a higher bacteria level. And just to be aware of that and try to share that information for folks. One recommendation from Surfrider and Heal the Bay is to stay out of the water for 72 hours following a storm. That way all that bacteria can flush out and get dissipated through the system, and then you're not having as high levels, generally speaking. Another thing that we test for in the bay is oxygen. It's a good indicator of how well the bay is doing in terms of supporting aquatic life, because everything needs oxygen to breathe, and there's a lot of things like sediment and low light levels that can contribute to lower oxygen. So oxygen can tell us about other issues as well in the bay. So we have really dedicated volunteers that go out on kayak very early in the morning, just after sunrise, and measure dissolved oxygen with a special equipment, and this is a very fast and cheap measurement, and it allows us to get an idea of the lowest possible level, because right after sunrise is the lowest level that we'll see. During the day, as photosynthesis happens in the water, you get more oxygen. So oxygen levels are fair or poor in most of the bay. You can see it's a little bit worse in the back bay. Part of that is due to the structure of the bay itself. The fact that it's closed in the back bay and it's shallower in the back bay, the water tends to sit back there longer, heat up, and the animals and use the oxygen up, and there's less circulating. In the front part of the bay, there's more circulation happening. The tides are more influential to the water quality, and you have slightly better oxygen levels. We do have relatively healthy aquatic species in the bay. We have, you may have heard, we have an issue with eelgrass over the past decade. We've had a lot of loss of eelgrass, and that probably is contributing in part to this issue. You don't have those plants creating oxygen in the water. So that is the next topic is eelgrass. So we have this catastrophic loss since 2007. We've lost 96% of our eelgrass. We are working very closely with a number of partners to try to address this issue from all sides. So we have some partnerships with Cal Poly and with NOAA. to determine the causes and try to better inform restoration efforts that will be successful. But at the same time, we're doing some pilot restoration efforts to try to learn if there's some impact we can have now in terms of keeping the eelgrass from totally disappearing. You'll see in the report, there's a map where you'll see that a lot of the eelgrass remaining is in the north part of the bay along the Embarcadero in Moro Bay, and in the sand spit. So we've actually seen some increases in that area, although we haven't seen too much come into the back bay. We are seeing some small shoots. We've had reports from avid kayakers and paddleboarders that they see little shoots here and there, and we go out and monitor and map those. But like I mentioned, we're doing some eelgrass restoration and research projects in an ongoing fashion to try to improve the situation. And also related to eelgrass, I forgot to mention that we're having a talk in October 12th, at the Slough Botanical Gardens, and that'll be on our website and our Facebook, about eelgrass in particular, and it's going to highlight some of the work that Cal Poly has been doing in particular to try to better understand the issue. And then I thought this would be another topic of interest to the community is climate change. It's also covered in our State of the Bay report. We didn't focus on every possible impact from climate change because we try to make this report relatively brief and public friendly, but we did look a little bit at temperature changes and sea level rise. So these maps are in the report, and the one on the left shows the average maximum temperature since 1981 to 2010, and the one on the right shows the projected average maximum temperature from 27 to 2099. So this is kind of what we've been hearing about a lot in our area, that we're probably going to get warmer. That probably means we're going to be drier. When it does rain, it's probably going to be these bigger storms that are a little more difficult to manage. And we're seeing that in the models for our area. This study was really interesting. This came from a study by the U.S. Geological Survey. They actually went to a number of different marsh habitats across California to look at what was going to happen with sea level rise. And they particularly came to Morro Bay and did a part of their study specific to Morro Bay. And so what this is showing is that on the left side, that's a little zoom in of the salt marsh between Morro Bay State Park and the Elfin Forest that you drive by on South Bay Boulevard. And on the left, that's what it looks like now. There's low marsh, it's a light green, and then sort of this middle, higher marsh, and then the dark green is the high marsh, which is much closer to South Bay Boulevard. And in 50 years, in the middle there, you see there's a lot more low marsh, and we're starting to lose the rest of that marsh habitat. And by 2110, it's all becoming mudflat, which means it's more and more inundated by water. It's unable to support that marsh habitat. And this is important for a number of reasons. One is it creates some complexities in our management for the bay, because we're always trying to reduce sediment coming into the bay and trying not to have the bay fill in. But we also see that sea level rise is going to work against that a little bit. And the other thing it introduces is a potential loss of our salt marsh, which is a really important flood barrier for Morro Bay and Los Osos and infrastructure like South Bay Boulevard. It's an important habitat that we don't have present other areas of the bay, and it's a habitat that's been lost all over California. So a lot of the migrating birds that come through Morro Bay depend on it and use it as a foraging grounds. So it's a concern to see that loss coming to us potentially. I included a few pictures of the king tides from a couple of years ago. King tides are the highest tides we experience in the winter, and those are supposed to indicate to us a little bit of what our infrastructure might have to deal with as sea level rises. So this is one of the restaurants along the Embarcadero Morro Bay. Water is very close. This is the stairwell at Tidelands Park. And this is over right next to the Baywood Pier. So we start to get a sense of what we might see in terms of inundation. So despite that, I should not put climate change last because it's a little bit depressing. But we do try to think about the things that we can do. And people do ask us, what are we going to do with some of these issues that are projected to happen in the future. And a lot of what we're trying to do is make good, positive change now that will help us be more resilient to climate change in the future. So trying to address erosion so those habitats will last better. Trying to address water conservation like we are in Los Osos to try to weather those changes in precipitation as we go forward in the future. But there's also things we can do every day to make us feel good about protecting the bay now as we're experiencing it now. One of those is the mutmits that I mentioned, picking up after your pet. Watching what goes down the drain. Many of our storm drains in Los Osos drain directly to the bay. Turning off the tap to conserve water. There is a great connection to conserving water in Los Osos and reducing storm water that then's draining out to the bay, reducing the pull of the connection to the surface flow in Los Osos Creek. And sustaining a bay-friendly yard. That's another way to help keep your water usage down and stormwater runoff down on your property. So, those are some highlights. I mentioned our Nature Center. I mentioned an event coming up October 12th for the eelgrass talk. And then we have a great blog. You get to see field updates from our staff out in the field and highlights of different things you can see in the watershed, science-y blog updates, and then we're on social media. So that was my update for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any questions? Yeah, do you have a working relationship with K-12 education, science education, so the kids can understand how a bay works and what they should sort of channel their life?
Yeah, that's great. We do something called the watershed model in a number of classrooms in Los Osos and Morro Bay. We bring a model into the classroom and talk about how the watershed works and how what you do on land can impact water quality in the bay. That's a big component of our education work. We also do a lot of field trips. Most of those tend to be college and community college. They're a little more technical and science-y. We do a little bit of shadowing, job shadowing for kids at the alternative high school in SLO, so they can think about some careers in our field. And then right now we're working on a couple of projects with schools to develop some new curriculum kits that teachers can use in their classroom to address the new science standards.
Cool.
So that's kind of what we're working on there. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a quick note on the agenda. We will not have item 11D. Staff has requested that go to the Finance Committee first. So 11D will be is going to the Finance Committee. So with that, we'll have public comment for items not on the agenda.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I wanted to speak to something that I mentioned at your last meeting that also wasn't on that agenda and should have been. When your board adopted... Is this loud enough? Is it me or is it the mic?
That's good.
That's better? Okay. Let's just talk into the mic. All right. Again, I'm Julie Tacker, and I wanted to speak to an item that was not on your agenda last month. It's not on this month. And it has to do with the budget that you adopted July 15th, if memory serves. You've adopted that budget predicated on some internal loans. You were going to bring back options for loaning from one fund to another. There had been talk that the water fund couldn't loan, and so I was quite curious, I still am, which fund is going to loan to Bay Ridge and Vista? And when I look at your year-to-date expenses in Bay Ridge and Vista, you are incurring costs. You're running in the negative. You have no revenue and you have no reserve. So how do you incur costs if you don't have a legal mechanism to loan those funds any money? I think it needs to be addressed rather rapidly. Some complexity in that is that I believe that Vista and Bay Ridge need to be asked if they want to borrow any money through a 218 process. This is me. I am not a lawyer. Not being a lawyer, but being an avid board watcher, I did want to mention that I think I've seen a couple of Brown Act violations with your board recently. One I mentioned at your last meeting was the participation of three board members at the LOCAC meeting. Your legal counsel explained that if a properly agendized meeting of a legislative body was something that you could all attend, I totally agree. The difference here was you were discussing a Los Osos CSD item. You should have noticed a quorum of the board would be discussing a Los Osos CSD item in somebody else's meeting. So I think that's a Brown Act violation. The other one is the closed session that you had to discuss your utility manager. You only have two employees below you. That is your GM and your attorney. I don't know why you were talking about the utility manager. The utility manager is to be hired by your general manager.
Thank you.
Steve Best. I'm wondering what this body is doing. There's a lot of things that are going on. This presentation that was being given here this evening, Lexi Bell, how is this being disseminated throughout the rest of the community? We weren't as a body here tonight being given the opportunity to ask any questions, any further discussions on it. That would have been nice to have had an opportunity. Is this report available to be given out to the community, even to be discussed out here, to be available to the people that have attended? There's all kinds of opportunities dropped. We're closing Sweet Springs. There's things like, there's people talking about on the next door, there's wild boar, becoming a dangerous influence in the community right now that is affecting the bay right now and causing damage and creating an influence on the community. What is this body doing about these kind of things that are affecting this community? I took a walk behind the library the other day. It's a garbage pit back there. I've got pictures. There's garbage back there piled up this high. People are making tents and igloos out of garbage and walkers to live in, and they're defecating. In the bushes, you can see where they've ripped out magazines and paperbacks to use for paper to wipe themselves with, and it's disgusting. And all that stuff is running down into the bay. You're talking about putting paper bags out for dogs, but then we're letting all that stuff run out. Feces for people run right out in the same place for into the bay, and this body does nothing important, nothing relevant to what goes on with this community. It's really disappointing. I really have a hard time with it. You people sit up there and just talk about how you want to be directors of what goes on with zoning in this town. It's disappointing. And we've got other important things to be doing. I'm working with on some plans on how we can take all the water that's coming out of the sewer treatment plant right now and producing potable water with it by using solar. We've got things we could be doing, good things we could be doing. We need to be doing other important things for this community, dealing with the aquifer and so forth, but this body has nothing that is relevant to what's going on in this community, nothing that supports this community in terms of creating any benefits. I'm really disappointed.
You guys need to
improve. Besides that, you're sucking down the end. With a dog park, you're taking the pool money. That was with you for sure.
Lindy Owen, Los Osos here. I basically wanted to comment a little bit on Lexi's presentation, which was very good. A few things that maybe in the future could be discussed is how saltwater intrusion is going to affect us in the future with ocean rise. I don't think I've heard much talk about that, but we are a compromised basin, and we don't have any spare water after the ocean fills in our aquifer. So I think that for at least our community is pretty important, and I think the shortage of water in Morro Bay is also important. I think also I am very appreciative of the mutt mitts that are appearing in other places, so that's appreciated. Maybe we need people mitts on the way back behind the library or something, but I think members of the community are addressing some of the homeless issues. I just ran over and picked up some of the garbage that Steve was talking about, thinking tomorrow's garbage day, I can put it out. So anyway, we can all do a little bit ourselves. The homeless situation involves a lot of mental illness and people that are going to make messes. I don't know. Since we have no solution for homelessness, we will probably continue looking at that. But along with picking up your dog, what your dog does, we also need to be aware of cigarette butts. And I find them all over the place. They're one of the most toxic. One little cigarette butt can kill I don't know how many thousand fish when introduced in the right water setting. So just feel free to pick up cigarette butts when you can, even though they're not your fault. They're part of how we keep the bay clean. And I pick up other people's dog messes. It just becomes part of what you do when you're a pet owner yourself and you see people being negligent. So, and also it would be appreciated if people would take those bags and take them home instead of leaving them, as if I once put a big note and said we don't have a dog poop pickup pickup service. As you know, maybe by 2025 we will be able to do that for you. Meanwhile, take it home. Anyway, that's all. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, we need an Uber for the bags. Any other public comment for items out on the agenda? Okay. On to administrative and committee reports. My understanding is our fire officials are fighting fires, so that's their job, so good. So we'll go to the Sheriff's Department report.
Good evening. Commander Jim Vogue, Commanding Officer of Coast Station. This last month, we had increased calls for service up to 316. It was 284 the month before that. But it's probably right around the same. We had 310 the month before that. Big call that kind of gives you that pulse of what's going on or what people are seeing are those suspicious vehicles or suspicious subjects or suspicious criminal acts. We had 68 of those as opposed to 43 the month before that. Phone scams went up to 9 that we know of. Those are reported ones. IRS still leading the pack there. Or you owe me money or I'll sue you. Department of Treasury scams too. We're getting some of the Apple care scams also. Animal cruelty that I often report on, dogs in cars. And we also had a chicken that was, instead of fighting chicken, which I think is a rooster, but anyway, tied up to a post in the sun. So that was apparently at that same residence there were animals being stored for cockfighting before an investigation that we handled earlier. So thefts went up 16 from 11. Burglaries kind of made a rise here, 5. I'll talk about those in a little bit. Disturbing the peace, though, went down a little bit to 45. That's still a lot of disturbing the peace in Los Osos, more than one a day. So let me talk about a couple notable incidents. 1800 block of 9th Street, a woman let a man move into her residence to help with general maintenance. She admittedly didn't really know him well. 2 days later, she noticed that her wallet and several cash withdrawals occurred from her account, a total of $500. She didn't give him her PIN number, but she had it written down on a piece of paper. So we were looking for this person. We found him, and he had a different story. He said she definitely gave him her PIN number, that he went to the market and did some trips for her, and she gave him some of that money, and she uses too much marijuana and alcohol. That's why she didn't know what was going on. So two sides of the story. We don't know. This is kind of interesting. Not a big deal, but you can see how things can get out of hand. On the 16th of August, 1900 block of Nevada Court, there was a neighbor dispute over parking. A lady parked her car partially blocked in a driveway. She went into the residence only intending to be there for a few minutes. I guess it lasted a little longer. She came out to find a note on her car seat that said, "This is not a parking spot." So she went to the neighbor's whose driveway she was partially blocking, knocked on the door, and the lady told her to get off her porch, and apparently she refused. So the lady grabbed her and escorted her off her porch, which she called us. We went there, and she was very upset that she actually opened her car door and put a note in there. So she wanted her arrested for battery, private person's arrest. The other lady wanted arrested for trespassing because she wouldn't get off the porch. So this was a big report that submitted to the DA's office, which I'm guessing they probably won't do anything about. But the big thing on something like this, you get a neighbor dispute, something like that, give us a call. We're good at handling this thing. We get yelled at all the time. It's okay. That's our job. So, you know, just be careful on these things. It's a little issue like a parking situation, but they can definitely be aggravated. We also, 600 block of Woodland Drive on the 22nd. Somebody at about 9:30 p.m., wasn't too late, busted a windshield of a Chrysler with a piece of concrete or a brick. The victim just moved in there. He doesn't have any enemies that he knows of, and so there was no explanation for that. But it's just kind of interesting how one car was picked out. We've had in Cayucas recently somebody scratching a bunch of cars. This was just one vehicle. Starbucks on the 27th, we had a report. This was really nice from Starbucks employees. They observed, in the drive-up window, a man was pulling what turned out to be his wife's hair and holding her like that. They got the license number. We responded quickly, but they were out of there by the time. But we followed up to the residence, located the car, conducted an investigation, and arrested him for spousal battery. And this was not his first time he's been arrested for such. This was actually kind of a good story. 2142 Mountain View at Los Osos Mini Storage, we had a burglary, which is not a good story, from a unit. The suspect cut the lock, put another lock on there. The owner is in Sweden, but he has an aunt that's a caretaker. And so we don't know exactly when the burglary occurred, but he had a lot of unique statues stolen, very expensive small statues. Each of them are numbered. Our detectives went to work. They got on the Internet and found on eBay some of these statues. They also found a suspect at the Estero Bay Motel in Cayucas, and he had 4 felony warrants, and he had a statue in his place, too. He also had receipts from Santa Cruz flea market, along with a lot of other stolen goods and burglar tools, lock picks, that kind of thing. So he went to jail. The investigation is still continuing. There's still a lot of items outstanding, but we did arrest him for receiving stolen property. This is kind of frightening, particularly to seniors and people that live alone. On the 1st of this month, 500 block of Skyline Drive, a man in his 20s with shaggy blonde hair walked into an elderly woman's house. He looked confused and disoriented and asked the woman if she lost her cell phone, and she said, "No, but get out of my house." He left. Then she discovered that her cell phone was indeed missing. Well, he wasn't a good Samaritan. He was actually the thief of the cell phone. He had gone in there when she was in the restroom or something and stole the cell phone. And then according to him, because we apprehended him today, he felt guilty about it, so he put it on somebody's bush down the block and then went back to ask her if she was missing her cell phone. So anyway, it makes no sense. He's 6'3", 125 pounds. He might have some mental health issues. He's homeless. At times, his name is Eric Wampler. He was arrested today for that. So he's currently in our custody. Los Osos Library, a place that's particularly in the back there. It's frequented by transients at times, or a lot of times. We had two transient males who were arrested for stolen property. They had caused problems earlier in the park. We went down there, and our deputies looked at some of the items they had in their possession, and one of these items were binoculars that were stolen earlier that day from the park. So luckily, our night people knew about the theft, and they were arrested for receiving stolen property. On the 2nd, 1600 block of Freeman Lane, a lady reported that 100 pounds of apples were stolen from her trees in a very short period of time. If you see a lot of people with a lot of apples, you know where they probably came from, red and green. They're not commercially grown. They're for private use only. And last but not least, yesterday at Baywood Park Community Church, a place of peacefulness, hopefully, we had one of our local transient female heroin users was attacking her boyfriend with a baseball bat. Luckily, didn't strike him with that, but used physical punishment on him, and she was arrested for domestic battery and brandishing a baseball bat in a threatening manner. And that's it, unless you have any questions.
Any questions?
No.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, moving right along. Renee, would you like to introduce our new utilities person, please?
I would. This is Jose Acosta, and I would like him to give a little bit of, tell us a little bit about himself. And before you do the report, please.
Okay. Good evening, board members, people in the crowd. I want to first say thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, for giving me this chance to work for this community. I have visited the community quite often, passing through Morro Bay and coming up here to visit the beaches, and it's a beautiful community. I look forward to service, being of service to the community, and being available to the citizens for any questions or comments regarding the utilities in the community. A little background about myself. I served 4 years in the United States Marine Corps. After being honorably discharged, I started working for the City of Solvay in their water department. Worked there 2 years in their distribution department. Moved to my hometown of Lompoc and worked there for 14 and a half years as the water treatment plant supervisor, fine-tuning my skills in the treatment sector. And after that, I went to go work for San Ynez River Water Conservation District for about 3.5 years, relearning the distribution side of the water. As most of you know, there are two sectors in the water. There's the treatment and the distribution sector. So fine-tuning both sides and gaining all that knowledge and skill helped me to become a better operator. So after 20 years of service in the water industry, I've been given this opportunity to serve as the utility manager for your district, and I appreciate that once again. Thank you.
Thank you, and welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. So we'll move on to the report. As you could see, the water production information. The total production for the month of July was approximately 17,920,000 gallons. This equates to an average daily demand of about 578,000 gallons. This represents an increase in production from last year by approximately 7.69%. And using the state's formula to calculate the residential usage per capita per day for the month of July, our residential customers used approximately 77.3 gallons per day per person. The production and runtime hours by well sites. We had Palisades Well, which produced about 3.315 million gallons, compared to last year at 4.161 million gallons. And our Third Third Street Bayside well is still out of commission, so we had no production from that. 8th Street in El Moro, $5.87 million, compared to last year at $4.06 million, which is an increase. 10th Street, $5.986, last year was $5.443 million gallons. South Bay, $2.1 million, a little increase from last year at $2.07 million. And South Bay Upper, $0.656 million gallons. A little decrease from last year at 0.894 million gallons. Overall, the increase in production from wells increased to 17.9 million from 16.6 million gallons. As you look at the chart for the runtime on the wells as well, that gives you the amount of hours that each well ran, which gives you a small decrease in the runtime hours, which tells you that there's more of a production in the wells. They're producing a little more than they did last year, but they ran a little less time. So we had a decrease to 1,773 hours from 1,880 hours last year. We'll move on to the water billing information. 43% of the service area received bills for approximately 12.57 million gallons consumption for the period of May 10th through July 13th. This generated approximately $168,500 in revenue. A few notes on the utility department operations and maintenance. During the month of July, the crew provided weekly sampling, well site rounds, meter reading. They marked underground utilities for USAs, performed equipment maintenance, and submitted the monthly report to the state. In addition to these duties, the crews completed the valve exercising program for the entire system, repaired a service line leak at 729 Santa Maria Avenue and 1610 10th Street. They performed They performed maintenance at the 8th and El Moro and 16th and Paso Robles Avenue and Don and Mitchell drainage stations. This maintenance includes pressure washing debris off the inside walls of the vault and the pumps. The debris is then vacuumed out of the vaults to prepare for the upcoming rainy season. Additional drainage maintenance was performed at the Bay Ridge drainage basin. This maintenance included the removing the chain link fence on the north side of the basin where a tree had fallen onto the fence equipment maintenance on the fence. Installed because the cold cranking amps. I'm sorry. Give me 1 second. Where it had fallen on the fence. Equipment maintenance was performed on the 16th Street emergency generator, and new batteries were installed because of the cold cranking amps of the battery had diminished. Next, we'll move on to the rainfall total. These totals are pulled from the county website, and the rain and reservoir information link is provided here as well. As you can see, there was no rain for the month of June, which brings our total for this rainfall season to about 0.82 inches of rain. We'll move on to the drainage section. The district complies with the general NPDES permit for stormwater discharges for small municipal separate storm sewer system. Whether it's raining or dry, trash, pesticides, animal excrement, and other pollutants make their way to drainage systems, then eventually out to the bay. Stormwater pollution prevention measures are available on the district's webpage as well. Bay Ridge Estates, the subdivision was hooked up to the Los Osos wastewater plant collection system in early May 2016. There are 9 remaining septic tanks which need to be pumped out still, and a notice of termination will be filed to the state on the reference waste discharge order once the County of San Luis Obispo accepts the transfer documents. Until these documents are finalized, our crew continues to monitor and respond to collection systems issues and emergencies within the system. Vista del Oro, this subdivision was hooked up as well in April 2016. A notice of termination was filed as well, and we're waiting for those documents to be finalized. In the meantime, our crews continue to monitor and maintain collection systems within that vicinity as well. So with that being said, I just want you guys to be aware, I am learning the system, I'm learning the streets, I'm getting my bearings, and I took a tour of the facilities, and the crew does maintain the facilities in a very clean manner, and I've seen plenty of opportunities for efficiency improvements at these facilities as well. We've discussed some of those issues with the crew leader as well, and working with Renee just these past 3 days and just sitting down with her, we've compiled quite of a list of things that we want to accomplish. So, again, I want to thank you for this opportunity, and I look forward to being here for many years working for your community, being available for any comments, questions, or concerns. Do we have any questions at this time?
Any questions?
No. Welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard. Thank you. Good job. General Manager report.
Good evening. Staff has completed the IRS and Social Security 2015 payroll reporting corrections, and we've been informed to wait for further instructions regarding 2016 payroll. Legal counsel and myself are continuing negotiations with SLOCIA regarding Parks and Rec. Staff is working on the changes to the dog lease park. The Parks and Rec Committee is currently working on items for requests for proposals for the nonprofits. Most of August has been spent on the MIP program. These are the following items we've been working on. We've been working on closing out and cleaning up past entries to MIP for the fiscal year report. We finally received the 2016-2017 fiscal year end property tax balance sheet from the county, so we're working on confirming the totals for each fund. We had the auditor here. I asked him to do a field test to see if he recognized any problems that we could fix prior to the October audit that we have planned. He made some suggestions and on future practices that will help us with keeping better books. He also spent some time with our bookkeeper and advice and gave him some suggestions. During the field visit from the auditor, he did find that Vista de Oro still owes about $1,500 on their loan. So while he's here in October, he'll be auditing all the loan payments to make sure the accuracy of what is left over and due. And we will hope to close that out in 2017-2018 fiscal year. And the budget has been entered into MIP so that we can start working on doing actuals and producing actuals instead of any side accounting. And we hope to present that to the Finance Committee at the September meeting. Sorry, that says October, but the September meeting, I believe there's one on the 27th. And that is all for the General Manager's report. Unless anybody has any questions.
Any questions for the General Manager?
Okay.
LOCAC report.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm Larry Bender, representing LOCAC tonight. Last month, we had three items come up for conversation. One was a bank improvement on a creek, which we saw no problems with and kind of approved that. Then we had two vacation rental requests come up. One there was very little discussion about, and then there was a second one that there was a lot of discussion about. So LOCAT's going to be working on trying to figure out what we're going to be doing with vacation rentals here in the community. And that was it. Any questions or anything? Or?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Chamber.
Good evening. I'm Steve Vinson. Mr. President, members of the board and public, I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. We have our next mixer coming up next week. It's going to be at the Los Osos Valley Memorial Park. It's going to be a champagne, chocolate, and strawberry party. They'll have it's at 5:30 to 7 p.m. There's going to be beverages, sweet treats, door prizes, and there'll be gift packets that will be given to businesses who join the chamber at this mixer. Just a reminder, the community dinners are ongoing. I think I talked about them last time. Trinity United Methodist Church and Los Osos Cares have partnered to provide dinner to the Los Osos community on the first and third Mondays of each month. They're looking for other churches and service organizations who can commit to provide a dinner once every 2 months, with the hope that we'll be able to expand to providing dinners every Monday. But everybody's invited. Okay, we've got the festival of the Bear Festival of Los Osos is coming up. It's the second annual, and it's part of our annual festival. Big, small, friendly, silly, serious. We invite local businesses, community artists, creative professionals, organizations, and students to create something special for visitors and the community of Los Osos. It's kind of like the Scarecrow Festival over in Cayucos, or Cambria, sorry. Yeah. All Los Osos bears must be in place by October 20, and they will be judged between the 21st and the 22nd. Winners will be announced at the 39th annual Oktoberfest and will be on display throughout the community until November 25th. Shop Small Saturday. A map of the bear locations will be available. There will be no cow bears, by the way. it's just regular bears. Just so you know. and the entry fees. The entry fee is only it's $10 to members, $25 to non-members. Free to children. Folks under 18. Speaking of the Oktoberfest coming up, it's always the last Sunday in October. This year it's October 29th. Also, we'll have the 12th annual car show. It's going to be held down on 2nd Street, and ought to be a lot of fun. So, if you'd like to buy a booth, just get a hold of Dawn at the chamber office during office hours. One last thing, this Sunday is Bayfest in Baywood at the Back Bay Inn and Cafe. There will be music all day from 1:30 to 7 p.m. Beer and wine available. Family friendly. Bring a chair. That's all I have.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Director's announcement of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars.
Quiet month.
Nope. Sure, please.
So be real quick. We had our Morro Bay National Estuary Program meeting, and Lexi filled you in on what we talked about. So.
Okay. I don't believe there are any pending questions. So, public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda. We don't have 11D.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and welcome, Jose. I'm curious, who gets to teach Jose about our wonderful basin? Because distribution and treatment are two aspects of being a Los Osos water expert, but the basin here is unique and quite interesting and very important to understand. And the reason I mention that is because I see that we continue to pump the Palisades well. I object. And you should too. So we should do what we can to stop using that well. Broken record? Kinda. The general manager's report, I was interested in the problems with the payroll and the Social Security and IRS with 2015. I'm just kind of curious what kind of corrections were necessary, and then the 2016 was not reported in your last general manager's report, but it is here now. And I'm wondering what kind of corrections are you looking for there. And I guess the undercurrent for me on that issue is that in the 2014 audit, we found where people were paid overtime when they weren't going over, when they weren't on overtime. Some problems were with that payroll, and those were never reconciled. The district didn't get their money back. With regard to the Parks and Rec dog park lease, the dog park lease was presented to the Parks and Rec committee, but apparently it hasn't been presented to your board. And there are some significant issues with that lease in that you are obligated to provide ADA-compliant dog park, which we would all want, of course, but that you would have to also provide the parking. And if you think about that site and the topography there, there's going to be some considerable expense. And if you're asking for a nonprofit to take the lead in this, you've just added $100,000, just my guess. The bookkeeping item that the general manager speaks about, she says some community members assisted us with closing of the fiscal year expenditures / budget. I would like to understand that more. Are there volunteers working on the books? And if so, they should be recognized with their names, and we should be appreciating them. I'm disappointed that you did not have committee meetings this month.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson, I still think in the future it would be nice to see the charts in the utility reports that we used to have that showed year after year progress or backward movement. I'm also, let me state it this way. You know how long and how much frustration it took to get to, for the board to get to a consensus on approving the budget. And some of the comments that were made that night about what would be done in the near term. I'm also very disappointed that it's been 2 months in a row now, and the only committee meeting that's been held is Parks and Rec.
Thank you. Any further public comment? Okay. With that, the chair will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda except for D, and file and receive the administrative and committee reports.
Can I ask one question about the warrant?
Yes.
In particular, $27,251,2600 to Brownstein, Hyatt, Farber, and Schreck, Basin Management Committee attorneys.
What page is that on? I was.
That's page 3 of the warrants.
Okay. What's the number? Okay, I see it. 27251, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm just wondering what we're doing legally through the Basin Management Committee that's taken a pretty good sized check. What are we? I didn't know we were. Maybe that was a question when Rob was here. Should I ask?
More detailed question out of Rob, but I can answer that it's. If you notice, we don't pay them every month.
Right.
So it's like something quarterly. So, but to get more detail, I'd have to refer to Rob on that one. But
okay.
It is something that was done for the last 4 months. In fact, I don't think was the last time we paid them.
Okay.
Okay. I'll go ahead and move that the board approve the consent agenda and receive the, was there any receive and files? Yes. And receive and file the other reports with the exception of 11D.
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion second. Any further discussion? Seeing none. There are no resolutions, so we will have the ayes and the nays.
I'm in favor, but I was not here for last meeting, so I'm going to abstain on the minutes.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Nay? Marshall abstained. Okay, motion carries. There's no pulled consent items, discussion of future agenda items. I think we've talked about tonight, we've talked about the need to bring some of the financial issues back. We were going to refer D to the Finance Committee, so that's part of that. And
the interfund loans, we do need to deal with that.
Yes.
And set up a process.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that, we got interfund loans. Okay. Anything else? Of course, you can always. Okay. Nobody wants wild boar abatement? No? Okay. Closing board comments.
I wrote that on my list, actually.
Well, anybody got any closing comments?
I look forward to the resumption of committee meetings this month as well. I think it's time we've taken a little vacation after we passed the budget, and it's time to get back on issues.
The Financial Advisory Committee will be meeting on the 28th. So,
I know she's left, but I'd like to thank Lexi Bell from National Estuary Program coming down and Marshall for setting that up. I think that's good to know. And we have a brief meeting tonight. Some things didn't come to fruition for our meeting tonight, but I am looking forward to also getting back to doing some things that we've been kind of pushing down with the budget and summer and everything else. So we'll see everybody around, and thank you very much. Good night. Meeting adjourned.